It's story time.
Classifying plants. When you hear this sound, please turn the page. Chapter 1. Being a botanist. Take a good look outside. What do you see? You probably see a lot of plants. You will see grass, flowers, shrubs, and trees. If you go to a place that sells plants, try to count the number of plants you can see. Plants are very important to people. Plants give us food. They can be used to make medicine. They are also beautiful. Do not forget that plants even help make the air we breathe. Since plants are useful to us, it is a good idea to classify them. This means we can put them into groups. This will help us learn about them. Like animals, plants are living things that breathe and grow. Many students and scientists spend their time studying plants. The study of plants is called botany. Scientists who study plants are called botanists. Botanists study plants to learn where they come from. They also study how plants eat and reproduce. They study how plants can be used for food. They also learn what kinds of things can be made from plants. For example, this printed book is made from paper, which was made from the wood of trees. They also study how to protect plants from disease and insects. They study plants to find new ways to use them. Chapter 2. Classifying plants. Botanists talk about plants in a special way. This helps them name the plant. It also helps describe them. This is important since there are more than 260,000 species of plants on Earth. They also use a different language, so they will not get confused. If you become a botanist, you will have to know this language. Every plant has a scientific name. Scientific names are written in a language known as Latin. It is very old. Botanists use Latin because the first botanists wrote and spoke in Latin. A man named Carl Linnaeus lived in Sweden in the 1700s. He was a doctor, a scientist, and a zoologist. Linnaeus loved nature. He was very interested in living things. As a scientist, Linnaeus spent time traveling in forests. He went to places that did not have many people. He was looking for new animals and plants. He wrote many books on what he found. Linnaeus was curious. He wanted to study plants because of the problems in his country. During that time, his country was poor. There was not enough food for everyone. He wanted to find new plants that people could eat. He wanted to grow cheap vegetables so everyone could buy them. He did not want people to be hungry. Linnaeus needed to think of a good way to name living things. He wanted to name both the ones he already knew and the new ones he found. At that time, most people used the common name, the name used by everyday people. Some names, such as Lily, were confusing because some plants had many common names. For example, the white lily had over 200 common names. Before Linnaeus, other scientists at the time used long, difficult Latin names for plants. Linnaeus had a better idea. He gave everything a simple two-part Latin name. The first name described the general group the plant belonged to. The second name was the name of the plants in that group. Chapter 3. Genetics. Another scientist who helped us learn about plants was Gregor Mendel. He looked at how plants reproduce. Mendel had a garden where he lived. He was curious about how different plants had different traits. For example, some peas are green, but others are yellow. Some are large, and others are small. The color and size of peas are examples of traits. You probably have many of the same traits as your parents and other relatives. Most parents and children have the same hair color, eye color, and height. The way you look is because of your parents. Mendel wanted to know how this happened. Why do living things usually look the same as their parents? He did many experiments with peas because they were easy to grow. Mendel took different kinds of peas and mixed them together. For example, he mixed seeds from green peas and seeds from yellow peas. He watched how they grew. Mendel saw how traits were passed from one type of pea to the next. Mendel had discovered genetics. This is the science of how traits are passed from parents to children in the genes. He discovered that living things had small packages of information. These packages contain the traits that are passed to us from our parents. Linnaeus lived before anyone understood genes. He didn't know that he could use them to find out which living things were closely related. He looked at different pieces of a plant. He decided which group it belonged to. He did not know that he could use genetics like modern scientists do. Chapter 4. Putting things together. Today, people use what Linnaeus and Mendel learned to help decide how plants should be classified. Modern biologists describe living things using many names. The names can tell us how different plants are similar to other plants. You can learn about the traits living things share by reading their long names. By doing this, scientists can classify new plants and animals together with known ones. Plants that share genetic traits are more alike than plants that do not. However, we need to look at more than just things we cannot see. That is why botanists look at many different things when they classify plants. Another thing that people look at is plant groups. They also look at the way plants transport water, seeds, and the stature or size of the plants. Each is a different way of putting plants into different groups. The most important classification is by group. The other ways of classifying plants can be used to help separate different groups from each other. Chapter 5. The major plant groups. There are four plant groups: mosses, ferns, conifers, and flowering plants. Mosses are tiny plants that grow on rocks and trees. Ferns have triangle-shaped parts that stick out of the plant and hold leaves. Conifers are trees and shrubs with cones. Finally, there are flowering plants. How can we tell the groups apart? One way is by looking at how a plant uses and transports water and nutrients. Some plants take in water through their roots. Then they transport the water to their other parts. Other plants take in water and nutrients directly through their cell walls. Plants use water and liquid inside of them to move food from one part of the plant to another. Mosses are the only plants that do not have this system. They use the water in the air or on the ground around them. They just take in whatever water is close. This is one of the reasons mosses are so small. Unlike mosses, the three other groups of plants have vascular systems. They can take in water through their roots. Then, the water can stay in the roots. The water can also be transported to another part of the plant that needs it, like the leaves. Plants with vascular systems can control how much water they hold inside themselves. They can grow much larger than mosses. Chapter 6. Seed Types. Another way to classify plants is by looking at their seed type. Not every plant has seeds. Some have very small things called spores. Both of them are used to make new plants. Each one has information from the parent plant. The three seed types are spore, naked seed, and covered seed. A spore is not even really a seed. It is very small and floats in the air. This means that it has to land in a good place so that it can start growing into a new plant. If they do not, new plants will not start growing. Mosses and ferns both reproduce by spores. Seeds can grow in more places than spores. This is because the seed's nutrients will feed the new plant until it can grow roots. Naked seeds do not have anything on the outside. They grow inside part of a plant until they are ready to fly away or fall to the ground and start growing. For example, conifers have cones, such as the pine cone. Pine cones contain naked seeds. Disease or insects may hurt the seeds because they do not have a cover. Covered seeds have a shell around each seed. Flowering plants have covered seeds. Flowering plants are the most complex of all plant types. Flowering plants are the main kinds of plants that are used for food. Examples are things like vegetables, fruits, beans, and nuts. Chapter 7. Plant Sizes and Names. The five different sizes of plants are mosses, ferns, herbs, shrubs, and trees. Botanists use these sizes as a quick way to describe what a plant looks like. For example, herbs are small. You may not even see them. But one kind of tree, the redwood, is the tallest living thing on Earth. Plants in some groups are always the same size. However, plants in other groups may be of very different sizes. As a group, mosses are always classified as moss stature. Most ferns are of the fern stature. But some are large enough to be classified as trees. The conifer group can either be classified as shrub or tree stature. Finally, flowering plants can be classified as small or large. By just looking at the scientific name of a plant, people can know a lot of information about it. This is true even for plants that scientists have never seen before. Even today, people are searching for new plant species. They look in deserts, forests, and in cities. It takes a lot of hard work to find and classify a new plant. Around the world, about 2,000 new plants are classified each year. Many plants have names. However, there are still lots of plants that have not yet been discovered or classified. Perhaps one day, you will discover a new plant and you can name it.